Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. I hope you're not tired yet. We serve a mighty God. We serve an incredible God. We serve an awesome God. And just in the worship moment, the songs that they sang represented the grace of God. But you know, as we turn to the Word of God, He wants to speak to us. He wants to give us insight for living and reason for existing. And that's the reason why we come here. Oh, for grace to trust God more. You're going to go through trials. You're going to experience tribulations. You're going to experience hardship. But greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because God has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And with that promise in mind, you can be assured that God will not let you down. I want to praise God for the praise team and thank God for our amazing band. Put your hands together to thank God for the word in song. They set the table, and it's nothing like being in the presence of God today. And I'm thankful because God is good and God is great and God is merciful. God is kind. We run out of adjectives, but God is all that and some. He's sovereign. He's Elohim. He's Adonai. God is God all by himself. And we serve a living God. Amen. And we serve an incredible God. No matter what's going on in your life, never look at your condition and judge who God is. Your circumstances do not represent who God is. And I'm glad today that no matter what we've gone through, we're still here. When the smoke clears, you can just touch yourself and say, yep, I went through hell and high water this week. Yep, I went through. I thought it was over, but God blessed me, kept me, and allowed me to be here one more time. Well, once again, we're thankful to each of you for being here, those who are watching online. We want to get right into the Word of God. And for the sake of time, we want to move expeditiously. I heard that someone said before, I know they say you want to stand up to be seen, you want to speak up to be heard, then you want to sit down so you can be loved. Well, I'm going to do all three of those. Amen? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Let's bow our heads once again today as we invite God's presence to touch our hearts. He's already here. But today we just want to open the Word of God. The psalmist said, I'll bless the Lord at all time, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. And today we want to open up the Word of God, praying that God would direct us and give us wisdom as we open up the Word of God today. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father God, we thank you. And it's because of your mercy and your grace that we are not consumed. It's because of your goodness that we can come into the house of God in spite of our condition and still worship in spirit and in truth. Lord, we're thankful that you've kept us through another week. We're thankful that you've gathered us here because you want to speak to us. We're not here by accident or coincidence. We're here by providence. Your love is moving in our hearts. And we have gathered here today once again to hear the voice of God and to see the face of Jesus. Lord, I pray for each weary traveler that you would give us the strength we need as we continue to make heaven our home, and that we would keep our eyes stayed on Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, as we open your word, we pray for the Holy Spirit to guide our footsteps, lead us into the things of God, and we will give you the glory and the honor for what you shall say and do for us today. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Our scripture reading is found that I just want to read in John chapter 3. I want to read the scripture, John chapter 3, very familiar text of scripture that you are familiar with. John chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, for God so loved, what, everybody? The world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what, everybody? Everlasting life. For God did not send, now I shout on 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what, everybody? Might be what, everybody? Might be saved. God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. And the word says it this way. I like verse 18. It says, he who believes in him is not condemned. That's talking about present tense. He who believes right now is not condemned. But he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then verse 19, and this is the condemnation. The Word of God says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. When you talk about the things of God, you need the Holy Ghost to guide your footsteps. The Word of God reminds us that whosoever believeth, whoever trusts, whoever follows God, he shall be saved. That's a promise from the Word of God. And you know, many times people talk about things of God, but sometimes they really don't know what they're talking about because it's not crouched in the Word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. You and I, as Christians, must learn to stand on nothing but thus saith the Lord. You know, not my opinion, not how I feel, not what I think, but I've got to know what God says regarding the things of God. I know I need to know and understand what it is that God would have me to know from his word, and from understanding this word, allowing it to penetrate into my heart so that I can walk the walk and talk the talk and live the life that God has called us to live. We as believers have been decided to live under the discipline of God's word, and that's what a disciple is. A disciple is one who chooses to live under the word of God. No longer how I feel, no longer what I think, but sometimes people will spout out things and don't know what they're talking about. I remember hearing the story of an individual. They were on a flight, and it was a young lady, and she was on a flight, young girl. She was on the flight, and she had her Bible open, and she was sitting there, and she was there, and As they were taking off, a young man came and sat beside her, and the man said, "What are you doing?" "I'm reading the Bible." And the man said, "Well, you know, I'm an atheist, and I don't really believe in God. I don't believe in afterlife. I don't believe in heaven or hell. I don't believe any of that as an atheist." And he said, "In fact, if you don't mind, what makes a flight go by faster is having a conversation. And so if you don't mind, I would like for us to begin to talk about these things. I would like for you to tell me and explain to me, because I don't believe really God even exists. I don't believe in any of that." This is what this atheist told this young girl. And she said to him, "Well, before you begin to talk about those things, I would like to ask you a question." She says, "How is it that a cow and a horse and a deer can eat grass, and the cow can let out a plop, a horse can let out a clump, and a deer can let out pellets?" The young man was listening. He said, "Wait a minute, what are you talking about?" He said, "Well, you before we start talking about the things of God in heaven and the afterlife, I just want to ask you a few questions. I just want to ask you that one question." He said, I don't mind talking about it, but if you can answer that question, then we can go somewhere." And she said it again. She said, "How is it that a cow, a horse, and a deer can eat green grass, and each one of them, one produce a pellet, one produce a flop, and one produce clumps? How can that happen?" And the man looked at her and said, "Well, I really don't understand what you're talking about. I don't understand." She said, "Well, how is it that you want to talk to me about the things of God, and you don't even understand crap or manure?" They use another word, but I can't say it in the pulpit. She said, you don't even understand that. In other words, how are you going to talk about the lofty things of God and you don't understand some of the simplest things in life? You see, in other words, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And in order for us to grasp the things of God, our mind has to be elevated above our own feelings and our own thought. In other words, we've got to go to the Word of God, divorce ourselves of how we feel and how we think, and open up the Word of God. And that's the reason why, in order for you and me to ever understand God, he must disclose himself, share himself, reveal himself. He has to take time to slow down. Have you ever seen a three-blade fan? You probably have. You know, a fan that you turn it on, and when you turn that fan on, it looks like one blade. But then when you turn it off, you're able to see all three blades. You know, God had to do that. He had to slow himself down. He says, because nobody can find out about me unless I disclose myself. So I'm going to slow myself down so that you can understand there's a Father and there's a Son and there's a Holy Ghost. We would never know anything about God if God did not take the first step in revealing himself to us. And that's why I'm so glad that when we look into the Word of God and we look at the cross, we can understand more about God. And that's why today I want to talk to you about the subject, the cross. Why the cross? In fact, I want to spend a little time teaching because I want to share with you some things regarding the cross and why it is so important for you and me as Christian believers to understand the cross. Why the cross? Why is that so important in our lives? You see, in other words, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And the same Adam that trusts God before he sinned, he had to trust God as well by faith. And what Adam had by nature, you and I must understand, possessed by faith. We've got to trust God when we can't feel God, when we can't see God. But when you look to the cross, you understand that we serve a God who loves us more than we can ever imagine. We love a God that more than we can understand. And we serve a God that wants to show us his love, manifest his love so that we don't have to walk in the dark. Now, I want to begin now. Once they hook it up and get me going, they're going to show you on the screen why the cross. Now, in other words, the two important teachings of the Bible. Let me lay the foundation. I want to make sure we understand that. The most important teaching of the Bible is the essential teaching is that Jesus Christ is God's divine Son. Now, why is that important? It's because some people call certain groups a cult. We are not a cult because we believe in the Son of God. We believe that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Unless Christ died on the cross, we could not have at one mint with God. Number one, the essential teaching is that Jesus Christ is God's divine Son, the Son who gave him life for humankind. Amen. The second teaching is that the Holy Ghost, without the Holy Spirit bringing revelation about what Jesus did on the cross, we could never understand it, nor could we accept it. It's the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Godhead. He is not a thing, he's not an it, but he is a person and he has power. He and God the Son are equal. They're no less. In other words, the same terminology, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I like to believe that it was God that thought it, it was the Son that brought it, and was the Holy Ghost that taught it. Without this revelation, it's impossible for us to understand God. So today I want to share with us why the cross. The cross is so important. It's the central theme for the Christian. We believe that in the cross is there that God manifests himself to humanity to demonstrate to us the love of God. If you're walking around with doubt, if you feel that you all by yourself left to carry on in this life, I want to tell you today that you are not by yourself. There's a God that loves you with an everlasting love. He will not let you go. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And so I declare today, I understand now why the cross. Notice, God is love. God is what, everybody? God is love. Don't let anybody tell you anything else. God is love. You say, well, look at my circumstances, what I'm going through. In spite of what you are going through, God is love. I've got to echo it on the mountaintop. If the devil told the truth, and you heard me say it before, if he told the truth just for a little while about the goodness of God, there will be a worldwide revival. Because who woke you up this morning? Who started you on your way? Who kept you last night when you slept in an unconscious state? Who allowed the oxygen to move in and out of your body through your veins and through your arteries? It was the grace of God. It was the blessing of God. God is love. And notice, his love is nature. His nature, his law is love. It ever have been and ever will be. The high and lofty one, the manifestation, the inhabited eternity who weighs or what, everybody, everlasting, and God changes not. I'm so glad we're not saved today and lost tomorrow. I'm so glad that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he changes not. He is the same. You can count on him. You can trust God. You can trust God. I want to say that again. You can trust God with your life. You can give him your heart. You can give him your mind. You can trust God with no variableness or shadow of turning. In other words, God doesn't change on us like we do. Now, some of us, we all right now, but some of us, you mess up with us the wrong way. You rub us the wrong way, we'll change on you. Now, okay, I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to another church while I was preaching. You mess with some folk, they get upset, they get angry, and we all are sinful. We all get mad. We all get angry. But I'm glad tonight, today, right now, that when it comes tonight, God won't change on us. When it comes tomorrow, God won't change on us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God does not change. I like this right here. Now, I want to make sure you get this in your spirit. If you miss anything, don't miss this. I want this slide to penetrate your medulla oblongata. I want it to sit on your cerebrum cortex. I want you to be singing this song all week long. I want you to make a song out of this. This statement, every manifestation, say that with me, every manifestation, every what, everybody? Every manifestation of a creative power is what? An expression of infinite love. Okay, now I'm going to let that marinate. I'm going to let it sit for a while because you probably didn't get it. You missed it. Let me say it again. Every manifestation of creative power is an expression of infinite love. In other words, you showing up is God expressing himself. Now, you ought to shout. You ought to look in the mirror and start clapping and say, God, when you made me, you created all over yourself. You ought to feel good about who you are. God did not make a mistake. God did not make an accident. No, you are intended by the creator of the universe. You were made with purpose and design by God. You have a form and a function. You don't even look the way you look by accident. Your form, how you look, comes out of your function for what God called you to do. Your existence is an expression of God manifesting himself in love. Now it says God is love. How do you know it? When I look out, I see so many beautiful people. I see diversity. I see color. I see male. I see female. When you walk out into your flower bed and you see red and you see blue and you see yellow, you see a diverse color of in the thing of in flowers. Just like God, when he manifested himself, he made human beings differently, uniquely, and that's God's expression of love. And therefore, we should never disrespect what God made. The reality is it must be something wrong with me when I disrespect something God expressed his love with. Think about it. When I'm having a problem with a person and when I'm having a problem with an individual, you are having an issue with something that God made in love by expressing himself. So it must be something wrong with me that I need to get my mind right, my heart right, on the same page with God. So if God expressed himself by making you, who am I not to like or love what God expressed? That's the truth. Now, we got it. Now, what I really like is this sovereignty. Now, notice the first point is God expressed his love by making you. That's your expression. The second point is the sovereignty, the mighty power of God, all that he is. He's all that. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He's immutable. He doesn't change. That's God's sovereignty. He's Elohim. He's God all by himself. He rules and governs everything. You know, you can't fire him. He won't quit. He won't resign. He's God all by himself. There's none like me. Jeremiah said, I've looked around, and there's none equal to me. I'm the uncalled. Cause. Nobody started me and nobody can stop me. Think about it. God is God all by himself. He is so awesome. He's so big. He's so large, larger than life itself. Eternity didn't even, in other words, God was here before time and eternity. God was here before anything, because if anything was here before God, that thing becomes God. In order to be God, nobody calls you. You always been here. Now, that's mind-blowing. Always been here. And this awesome God, somewhere in time, decided as he was moving through space, and he doesn't move through space like we do, but as God was existing, he decided somewhere in time to manifest himself in love by making you, and you showed up at this time for a purpose, to fulfill the purpose of God. That's why you are here, and your existence is God's love being manifested, and therefore, he is showing us that he loves us, and he manifested his love by going to a place called the cross. Now, let me just say this. With that understanding, for me to move beyond this point, and I know we will because we're human, when I'm going through something, for me to doubt God's love, again, it means I don't accept God's love. I want you to think with me. Think with me. Go back again. Let me go back to the statement. Every manifestation. is of creative power is an expression of God's love. God made you. You're here. And you might be asking sometimes, why me? Why do I have to go through this? Why am I going through this situation? Why am I going through this problem? Well, God manifested his power by making you. His sovereignty of God involves. This is what I like to say. You got to, when I read this, I said, I got to share with the people. God. It involves God's fullness of blessing to all created beings. Okay, I know it's kind of, I know it's still early. What time is it? For you to ever be blessed, God says, my sovereignty rests on me having the ability to make sure your blessings are on you. That's what God is saying. In other words, for me to sit on the throne, for me to be God, for me to be able to say I'm sovereign, whatever I make, it becomes my responsibility to make sure whatever that thing needs, I'm going to give them the fullness of blessing so that they will not fall short of what they need. In other words, God says, I got you. Whatever situation you're in, my sovereignty is dependent. In other words, for me to be God, how I treat what I love will depend on me still being God. And I'm always going to be God, so you'll never have to worry about not having what you need. Bible says the eyes of all look to thee and thou giveth them their meat in due season, which means this: everything God makes looks to God for fulfillment, and it cannot be fulfilled unless God shows up. You'll never be happy unless God manifests himself with the blessings of God. You will have what is called camouflage misery. We'll fake it until we make it. We'll smile when there's nothing to smile about. We'll go through it. But in order to have joy, a joy that passeth all understanding, a peace that passeth understanding, a happiness that cannot be taken away, a joy that the world can't give me and the world that only God can give, that means that only God can provide for me that very thing that makes me happy. In other words, nothing makes me happy. In other words, I will have things, but those things cannot make you happy. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? So two things I hear. God saying, I express myself by making you. And by me making you, the fact that you showed up then becomes my responsibility to make sure that your fullness of blessings are given. Because I'm God, I will not let you down. And it takes faith to trust a God like that. It takes faith to go through hell and high water to say, though you slay me, I'm going to trust in him. It takes faith to say, God, though you slay me, I'm going through this, and I don't know why. Will you trust me? And all as our faces differ, so will our trials. Notice for Jesus, he demonstrated his love. The history of the great conflict between good and evil from the time it first began in heaven to the final overthrow of rebellion. Now, I want you to get this. From the time it began in heaven until the overthrow of rebellion and the total eradication of sin is also a demonstration of God's unchanging love. Now, what it means here is that everything that started from the time the devil decided he wanted to fight God to the time God burns him up along with the devil, evil angels, and unfortunately those who fail to repent of their sins and die in the lake of fire, everything in between that has always been meted out in love. Let me say that again. From the time Lucifer, a covering cherub, decided to fight God and say, I'm going to sit on the mount of the congregation. I'm going to be like the Most High God. And God said, okay, I'm going to let you have it your way. I'm going to let you do it, but you can't go. You can't stay here. In other words, you don't have to go home, but you sure can't stay here. And the Bible says there was war in heaven, and he was cast out. And I want you to get this in the great controversy. He was cast out. So from the history of the great conflict between good and evil, from the first time it began in heaven to the final overthrow, when it's eradicated, and God will one day eradicate it, everything in between that means God has always meted it out in love. Let me say that again. From the time Lucifer sinned against God and was kicked out of heaven until the time one day when Christ will do away with all sin and wipe away all tears from our eyes, everything in between has been meted out in love. So in between there is you and me. every trial we go through, every obstacle we experience, every setback, every pain, every drama, God always give it with a little love. No matter what you're going through, it could be a lot worse, but God in his infinite mercy meets it out in love. You mean to tell me what I'm going through, God, you doing it to? No, I'm allowing it to happen because I love you. I'm allowing it to happen because I care about you. I'm allowing it to happen, and that's why trials are given in the school of Christ to purify God's children from the dross of earthliness. Every trial is God's way of saying, I'm trying to get something out of you so that one day when I come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you'll be able to look up and say, Lord, this is my God. I've waited for you. God wants to process us. He wants to prepare us to see him so that the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. So in love, God allow trials to come. In love, he allowed burdens to be carried. And every time you go through something, it caused you to fall on your knees. And right now, in fact, I'm going through something. You're going through something. But you know what it ought to do? It ought to increase your prayer life. It ought to cause you to call on God. And then you know some people say, well, the only reason why they're calling on God is they're going through something. Well, if that doesn't make you call on God, I don't know what will. Only the reason why he calling on God is because he's going to jail. Or the only reason why he calling to God is because he got a bad prognosis. The only reason why he got calling on God is because he got cancer. You ought to call on him because he's a great physician. He's a balm in Gilead. He'll heal your soul. He's a God that walked. He's a God that comes. He's a God that heals. If he can walk on water, if he can unstop deaf ears, if he can open up blind eyes, I'm quite sure he can do something for you and me. So everything in between is happening in love. So now when I go through something, I got to understand God loves me and he will never give me more than I can handle. I can understand now that when I'm going through something, God loves me and he cares about me. And so, in other words, when the heat goes up, remember God has his hand on the thermostat. Satan had represented God as selfish, oppressive, claiming all and giving nothing, as requiring the service of his creatures for his own glory, making no sacrifice for their good. That's what the devil says about God. But you and I need to walk out of here knowing without a doubt, no, that's not the God I serve. The fact that I'm still here means that God is love. The fact that he loves me, I know he loves me. Notice here, Christ hung on Calvary. He died a vicarious death. In other words, what blows my mind is this. The word of God says it this way. When the fullness of time came, Jesus was born of a woman, born under the law, and he intentionally died on the cross. Now he came at a time. Now, have you ever watched kids playing double dutch? And with double dutch, you got to know when to jump in. Now, think about it. Jesus waited until, he waited until on earth people were dying, the crucifixion, before he jumped in time. Okay. He could have come for the death chamber. He could have come with the gas chamber. He could have come where they shooting you with bullets. But no, he waited. This is the love of God. He waited in time, 4,000 years. This is what blows my mind when I think about the great controversy, when I understand the love of God. He could have come right after Adam's sin. But when he sinned, he said in Genesis 3:15, don't worry about it. He going to clip my heel, but I'm going to knock his head. I'm going to bruise his head. Don't worry about it. I'm going to fix it. Genesis 3:15. In other words, he said, I'm coming, and every male child that was born, Lucifer thought that was Christ showing up. So he was shaking in his boot. When he saw a male child, he said, is that him? Not yet. Is that him? Not yet. That's why even with Moses, all the children were thrown into the room, because male children were intimidating to Lucifer because he knew Jesus said, I'm coming. I'm not going to let you mess with my property and just let them know, no. I'm coming to get them one day. And when I come back, I'm coming for you. And so Lucifer was petrified. He was terrified at the fact that one day Jesus would come back and claim us as his own. He thought God was going to wipe us off. He thought when man sinned, he thought God was going to turn his back. But I'm so glad God didn't turn his back. When you understand the controversy, the love of God for you, it changes your heart. He didn't do it in any other way. Love begets love. He waited until men and women were being crucified by the Roman government to come in time. Think about it. He could have come any time. They say the Persians, they invented crucifixion, but Romans perfected it. And they would amuse themselves by crucifying people in different fashions. And they took Jesus and they nailed him to the cross. The word of God says, cursed is one that hangs on the tree. So when Christ was crucified, he had become a curse. He had become cursed for sin for you and for me. He waited until the fullness of time. And so when I think about the love of God, when I think about the cross, it's not a payoff to the devil. It's a window where we can look in and see what the heart of God has always been like. He's always loved us. He's always cared about you. He's always cared about your pain and your trouble. He's always loved you. He'll never forsake. That's what the Bible says. But the truth of the matter is this. When Lucifer sinned and had come down here after he sinned and then Adam sinned, Jesus said, that's all right. I'm going to fix it. But y'all have to give me some time. I got to take some time on this. I'm going to let the devil do his thing, but I'm going to demonstrate my love. Notice the Satan with his fierce temptations wrung the heart of Jesus. The Savior could not see through the portals of the tomb. Hope did not present to him his coming forth from the grave, a conqueror, to tell him of the Father's accepting of the sacrifice, which simply says this. When Christ went into the tomb after dying on Calvary, he had no assurance that he would come out. But he loved us so much, he was willing to stop existing so that you and I could exist. I mean, do you feel? In other words, he said, even if it means if I'm blotted out and obliterated, I'll die the second death so that they can keep on living. Now, I can't imagine no love like that. That's why John said, behold, what manner of love is this? That Christ would be willing to be blotted out of existence, who is God himself, so that creatures that he made in his image can keep on living. I don't understand it. I can't understand it. But that's the love of God. That's why the cross demonstrates to us how much God loves you, and don't let the devil tell you otherwise. He loves you with an everlasting love, and when that impression comes deep into the soul, it changes the heart of the believer. Listen, brothers and sisters, I'm almost ready. He feared that sin was so offensive to God that the separation was to be eternal. That's Christ. He feared that. That's why on Calvary he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was experiencing separation from his Father that he had never experienced before, and it was wringing his heart. He could not understand it. He who knew no sin became sin for you and me. He became sin, and so his own Father had to turn his back, and Calvary was enveloped with darkness. And while he felt the separation, he cried out. He felt the anguish which the sinner will feel when mercy shall no longer plead for the guilty race. He never wants you to experience that. He felt what people will feel when God walks away. And that eternal separation, there's no coming back. There's no turning the table. There's no second chance. Notice, it was the sense of sin bringing the Father's wrath upon him as man's substitute that made the cup he drank so bitter and broke the heart of the Son of God. He became sin for you and me to die on Calvary. He became that. Why the cross? God and his only angels were beside the cross. Can you imagine the angels that adore him, the angels that love him, the angels that worship him? They were there at the cross, and they couldn't pull him off of it. They wanted to. They wanted to get him off the cross. In fact, the 10,000 angels would have got him out of that, but they had to stand there and watch the commander chief in heaven die on that cross. It was the same angels that I'm told in the book Story Redemption. When Jesus said, I'm going to go down there, they said, no, let us go. He said, no, you can't go. You a creature. Only a creator can go down there and die on the cross and suffice the law. In other words, these angels stood by the cross. The Father was with his Son, yet his presence was not revealed. Had his glory flashed forth the cloud, every human beholder would have been destroyed. And in that dreadful hour, Christ was not to be comforted for the Father's presence. He had never sinned, never messed up. And so when you feel yourself discouraged and down and out, wondering if somebody loves you, let me tell you, God loves you. When you're going through a trial and you're going through a burden, God loves you. When it feels like all the world has forsaken you and it seems like you're all by yourself, go away with this reality. God loves you and he will never stop loving you. It's here, proof in the pudding. He trod the wine press alone. To the angels, the unfallen worlds, the cry, "It is finished," had a deep significance. It was then, as well as for us, that the great work of redemption had been accomplished. They were to share in the fruits of his victory. Now watch this. Not until the death of Christ was the character of Satan clearly revealed to the angels or the unfallen worlds. You understand that? Are you hearing that? In other words, when Lucifer sinned, it wasn't until 4,000 years later that Christ would come and die on the cross. The angels were still scratching their head about Lucifer, wondering whether he was right or wrong. And they couldn't understand it. They said, wait a minute. Lucifer was a covering cherub. He stood in the presence of God. He was so gifted. He was so blessed. How is it that he would do this? And it wasn't until then that the character of Satan was clearly revealed. In other words, the mask was torn off of Lucifer at the cross, and the angels threw up their hand and said, "Yep, he crazy." It was finally then that they made up their mind. Yep, he lost his mind to fight against God. And let me tell you what sin will do. Sin would reach up to the throne of God. Left unchecked, sin would reach up to the throne of God and grab God himself by his neck, throw him down, and kill him left unchecked. That's what sin would do. And if sin would do that to God, left unchecked, question, what would sin do to us? If God had not stepped in, what happens to us? When Jesus decided to come to this world, they say, "Wait a minute, Jesus, what would happen to you?" He said, "No, it's not about me. If I don't go, what would happen to them?" He stepped in because he saw his love. He loved you so much that he put himself in harm's way. And you got to live with that reality. You got to understand that's why you were made. You are a manifestation of the love of God. And what he made, he didn't make a mistake. And so he says, "My sovereignty rests now on making sure your blessings are still coming your way. And just because you sinned against me doesn't mean the story is over." In other words, he said this. Notice, the apostate had so closed himself with deception that even holy beings had not understood his principles. They had not clearly seen the nature of his rebellion. They didn't understand it. It was God's purpose to place on eternal basis of security. And in the council of heaven, it was decided that time must be given to Satan to develop his principles. I don't know about you, but I'm saying, God, why didn't you just destroy him right away? Why did you destroy him? Had he done that? No, notice what the statement said. He needed him to develop his principles, which were the foundation of his system of government. He needed us to see when sin is left unchecked, what it does. Babies die innocently. Death happens. Murder, slavery. All of these things is a result of the devil. And God says, "I needed you to see inductively what happens when sin is left unchecked." If sin is left unchecked in your life, what would happen? It will destroy you. And so notice, saints, I'm almost finished. Notice, he had claimed that they were superior to God's principles. He said, "I got a better way of doing this thing." And whenever we say we got a better way of doing something than God, we're acting like the devil. Because you can't improve on excellent. You can't improve on God. What God had in mind for you and me is the very best. Notice, time was given for Satan to work out those principles that they might be seen by the heavenly universe. And see, now you and I, when it's all said and done, I know I'm at that point, whether I'm saved or lost, I'm at that point now where I'm saying, "God, you're fair. God, you're kind. God, you're gracious. You've been good to me, God. You've blessed me above all I can ask or think. God, if you never give me anything else, you've given me enough evidence to know that you are a mighty God. You are a good God. You are on time, God. You've kept me alive. You provided for my family. You provided for my children. You provide for me. You bless others. God, I know you are a good God. That's the reason why one day every knee will bow and every every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, and he's fair and he's kind, he's just and true, and forever we will be worshiping him and blessing him. But we got to get our characters right now so that when we get the glory, we'll be able to say, holy, holy to the Lamb of God. Bless the name of Jesus forever and ever. In other words, saints, God has to allow this to happen. At the beginning of the great controversy, the angels did not understand this. It wasn't clear. See, when it's all said and done, God wants to clear away any doubt about him. When it's all said and done, God wants the world to know that I am good. He doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. But God said, I'm going to let you see it for yourself. Left unchecked, let me show you how crazy this Lucifer is. Had Satan and his host then been left to reap the full result of their sin, they would have perished. But it would not have been apparent to heavenly beings that this was the inevitable result of sin. In other words, saints of God, I'm about to close. If God had just cut this thing off earlier, it would be left a question mark. Doubt of God's goodness would have remained. A doubt of God's goodness would have remained in their minds as an evil seed to produce its deadly fruit of sin. And well, in other words, God has to remove every doubt from us so that when he comes back, that doubt doesn't form like fuel as combustible fire that will consume us. Without holiness, no man shall see God. And notice here, as I prepare to close, not so when the controversy shall be ended. When this thing all is said and done, when it's over, it's going to be clear that the plan of redemption having been completed, the character of God is revealed, and all created intelligences, well then might the angels rejoice as they look upon the Savior's cross. That's what the cross. In other words, he didn't want to write a term paper. He didn't want angels to fly across the sky in red and say, I love you. No, he needed the cross. That's why the cross. For though they did not then understand, what would they understand? What would they understand? What would you understand? When it's all said and done, number one, they knew that destruction of sin and Satan was forever made certain because of the cross. Yeah, we ain't going to go through hell forever, y'all. Just hold on. Hold on for a little while. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is going to come in the morning. One day, conquering king, Jesus is coming back soon and very soon. The handwriting is on the wall. That's why he says, I'm coming back with thousands and thousands of angels. And when he comes back, the word of God says it this way. Every eye shall see him, and the dead in Christ will rise up from the grave like popcorn on a hot griddle. Woof, coming up out the grave, and we which remain are going to be caught up to meet him in the air. That's going to happen, brothers and sisters. That's what they knew. They knew that one day sin, Satan, and destruction will happen, and sin will not last forever. That's one thing we can realize. And secondly, that the redemption of man was assured. You can be saved. You can be saved. The blood of Jesus can cover you right now, no matter what you have done, no matter what you have gone through, no matter how many times you have fallen, you can still get up. The word of God says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So don't let the devil tell you you've gone too far. Don't let him tell you you cannot rise up. Don't let him tell you that it's over. No, it's not over until God says it's over. And as long as you got breath in your body, as long as you got thinking in your head, as long as the Holy Ghost keeps on moving on your heart, time is to hear the voice of God. He says, today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Just open your heart. Let me come in. That's the good news of the gospel, that the universe was made eternally secure. You know what the Bible says? Nahum 1:9, affliction won't rise up the second time. And he's not going to make robots. It's just that our minds are so made up that ain't nowhere in the world I want to trip on God again. Ain't nowhere in the world I don't want to disobey him. When he hung on the cross, he made it possible. And all the condition is have faith in Jesus. That's all. All they had to do is look and live. You know, in John chapter 3, when Jesus was having this conversation, he was having it with Nicodemus. He told Nicodemus, a man must be born again. And Nicodemus said, how can it happen? He says, it's not that you enter into the second time into your mother. No. He says, flesh and blood cannot see the kingdom of God, but a man must be born of the water and of the spirit. And then he keeps on going, and he says, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not be saved. And he that believes is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already. And the good news is simply this: repentance from sin. I'm sorry, God. That's it. Then Jesus said these words: I am the door of the sheep, and all that enter ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. This is all Jesus says. I am the door. I am the door today, right now. I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be what, everybody? Saved. All you got to do is enter in that door. And notice, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. That's all it is. He gives you a door. Every person on planet Earth is given this opportunity with a door open for salvation. You're not stuck. You just maybe stayed too long, but you're not stuck. You can walk through that door. How do I know it? Notice he says, my sheep, they hear my voice. And they're going to respond. And they're going to walk through that door. Yep. They're going to walk right through that door and be saved. That's all it takes, saints of God. That's the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave. And anybody who just walks in that door can be saved. Aren't you glad it's that simple? Having faith in God. Do you have faith in God today? Do you want to trust God today? Do you want to walk into that door? There are many of you today who said, yes, Lord, I've already walked in that door and I'm walking by faith. And you want to say, Lord, I just need strength and power to keep walking with you by faith. Would you stand with me so I can pray over you? You want to say, yes, God, I understand now the plan of salvation. I understand why we're still here. I understand that you want to reveal to us your character. I see your hands. And then as I close, saints, while you're standing just for 60 seconds, there may be somebody who has not yet accepted Christ as their personal Savior. They have not yet made him their Lord and Savior. And you want to say, yes, God, I see now the plan of salvation. I see now God is love. I understand that he gave himself so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. I would be remiss if I didn't give that invitation to somebody today to say, have you accepted him as your personal Savior? If you haven't, you can become a part of God's church. You can be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and come up in the newness of life. And today he says, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Come down. Let's reason together. If you're willing and obedient, the word of God says you'll eat the good of the land. That's all God says. Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's what we need, rest. That's what we need today, rest. The word of God says there's no peace to the wicked. Is there someone today who wants to say, yes, God, I need to accept you as my personal Savior, and I need to walk with you, and I need to plan to be in the next baptism? I need to go down into the watery grave and come up in the newness of life. I need to follow you. If there's someone here today who want to raise their hand and say, yes, God, I need salvation. Before I close, 30 seconds, 30 seconds. You're not going to stand forever. 30 seconds. I promise I'm going to close with prayer. 30 seconds. But I can't let this time pass, the harvest pass, and my soul be lost. Jesus is making up his jewels, and he's coming back one day, and he wants all of his people to be ready. He wants you to be ready. He wants all of us to get ready. 15 seconds and I'm praying. Is there someone else who wants to say, yes, Lord, I want to walk all the way with you. I want to give you my life. I need to become a member. In fact, I want to become a member of Message of Hope. I want to join this church, a Bible-believing church. I want to walk the way Jesus wants me to walk. I want to talk the way Jesus wants me to talk. I want to learn how to obey God. That's what this teaching was about today. Jesus said, I want you to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I'm praying now. Father, your children are standing. We've been here starting this morning at 11 o'clock, and now it's 1:15. For the time we spent, God, we pray that a revelation of your love has been made. The singing, the music, the praying, the exposition of your word, the understanding of the controversy. Now your children are standing, Lord, and many of them will go back to life itself. As we leave from this mountain, Father, I pray that you'll equip us all to do your will. I pray that you'll give us the power to keep our eyes on you. And I pray that when it's all said and done, all of us will be saved in your kingdom without the loss of one. Those who are watching online, Father, I pray that they would connect with that card, the text, that number that's on the screen, that they would accept Christ as their Savior as well. And we will reach out to them and minister so that they can be saved in your kingdom. Father, again, we love you. We thank you for saving us. As John said, what manner of love is this that the Father had bestowed upon us, that we could be called the sons and daughters of God? Thank you, Lord, for the promise that every person that hath this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the reality of knowing that you're coming back one day. Now cover us, save us, and may we walk in the light. In the name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people said amen and amen.